Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Welcome to your 2018 AEN Candidacy Preparation Training for your ordination, elevation, licensing, and consecration. We pray that you've all had a blessed week and worship on your Pentecost Sunday, and that Holy Spirit has given us direction and instructions going forward. We are excited. And we're excited for your future. So we want to get right to it. We want to start off in prayer. It is always the desire of this ministry that the prayer is led by the male. So we're one of the males on the line. Lead us out in opening prayer. You are leaders. You can take the initiative. Don't wait to be called on. Hello? You are on speaker. We do ask that that you take your phones off mute when you want to dialogue with the group, and when you're not, to leave your phone on mute so that we don't pick up background information. Yes. Someone was calling overseer. There is a 5-second delay. So if you start talking and then someone else starts talking, be encouraged. Just continue, because there is just a delay in when we actually hear you. Amen? Amen. So we're opening up in prayer. We know that some of our leaders are in another meeting. Those that are being consecrated have actually probably taken quite a few of them. Leaders off of our line as they are on theirs. Amen. But we still should have Pastor Vaughn, Pastor Avante, Pastor James Smith, Brother Miles, and we do understand that some of you are at places that you can't go on live, and we do understand that. So I will open up us up in prayer, so that we don't lose our time and we can get to everything that we have scheduled for today. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering. We pray, oh God, that your Spirit will take control of all things. Word our mouths, oh God, give us the wisdom to share with the candidates the information needed, not just information, but even the mindset and the spiritual insight, oh God, that you would have them have as they transition into leadership position. We thank you, oh God, for each one. We're excited, oh God, for their destiny, for their calling on their life, for the importance of this season of elevation in their lives. Let them realize, oh God, as they obey the process in each of the elements of the process, that they receive from you that which is needed to mature them, to empower them, and to give them, oh God, the grace, quickening wisdom to go forth in your name. And we pray this in the name of Jesus for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. In his name, amen. And so we want to start today's session off with our presenters. The presenters for the day, are you on the line and are you prepared? Our presenters for today.
Okay, Elder Yvette is here.
Okay. Amen. All right, Elder Yvette.
Okay. Okay. All right, just a minute. Okay. Tonight for the scriptural presentation and this process, we will identify the gift of God in us and that there is a greater in us. The point of consecration will come from Genesis, the 28th chapter, verses 12 through 22, talking to worthy. Now, briefly, according to the Bible dictionary, consecration is an act of setting apart or dedicating something or someone for God's use. And I would just like to read Genesis 28, 12 through 22. And I'm going to read it from the Living Translation Bible. And dreamed that a staircase reached from earth to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down upon it. At the top of the stairs stood the Lord. I am Jehovah, he said, the God of Abraham and of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on is yours. I will give it to you and to your descendants, for you will have descendants as many as dust. They will cover the land from east to west and from north to south, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you and will protect you wherever you go and will bring you back safely to this land. I will be with you constantly until I have finished giving you all I am promising. Then Jacob woke up. God lives here, he exclaimed in terror. I've stumbled into his home. This is the awesome entrance to heaven. The next morning he got up very early and set his stone headrest upright as a memorial pillar and poured olive oil over it. He named the place Bethel, House of God. Though the previous name of the nearest village was Luz. And Jacob vowed this vow to God: if God will help and protect me on this journey and give me food and clothes and will bring me back safely to my father, then I will choose Jehovah as my God, and this memorial pillar shall become a place for worship, and I will give you back a tenth of everything you give me. Now, in looking at this, and tonight we're talking about worthy. And when we look at this, we study this, and we see that Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and we talk about what is really in us already, the gift that God has placed in us that is greater. And it may not always have been seen. Even sometimes we don't even know it ourselves in the beginning. When we look at Jacob and we think of Jacob, Jacob didn't look like he was worthy for the call that God had for his life. If we go back even before the 28th chapter in Genesis, we can think of how he was not actually the firstborn, but he was the second son from the set of twins. However, even when the mother was carrying him, it was already said that the older brother would serve under him. So even though he was a liar, a trickster, conniver, all of these things, there was yet still a greater call in him. And that makes me think of Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And two, when we even look at Jacob as being part of the promises from his from his grandfather, Abraham, Isaac, and then coming down, there's Jacob. And we always hear that God is faithful to fulfill his promises. But the call that's in you, the greater, he already knew that there was an Israel inside of Jacob, and whom he calls, he equips. So even before we can even see it or it has manifested, the situations that we may be in do not actually really truly define us, but God has already made us and defined us. So with that said, I would say his actions or situations did not define who he is, which is the same way with us. Sometimes when we look at ourselves and look at our lives, and we might think that we're not worthy, but because God is who he is and we are his creation, we are worthy because he made us worthy. He has justified us, and we are worthy. And that is my presentation.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder. Very good. Now, we hope that you're getting a sense of where this prophetic word is going in your process. I learned to identify yourself through these different phases. Now, next week, let's see who's on the schedule for next week. We have Pastor Johnny Barnes to present next week for the call, and we're going to start on another set of presentations that we're going to get an explanation for first, and they're going to be presented to you. And then you can check your schedule to see when you are due to bring your presentation as it relates to accountability partnering. Amen. And so we will go from that presentation into the presentation of accountability partnering by Elder Deborah.
Good evening.
Good evening.
For all of you guys that are on the line, we're going to carve out a little time to really talk a bit more in depth about the whole accountability partner process. This year, I'd say more than any of the other years that I can recall, it seems like we've had quite a few challenges, this whole accountability piece, and not sure exactly why, but a couple of things have come to mind. First, let me say that the accountability process is a mandated component of the AEN network licensing and ordination / elevation process. So whomever your referring agency or referring leader understood when he suggested or referred that you would become part of this process, that this is also part of the process. So to that end, we're certainly looking for a full and total engagement in the process. That being said, if this is something that you have not done before, it can seem awkward. I can recall when the first time I was paired with someone, it was a significant age difference. There was a difference in our ethnicities and some of our religious kind of tenets were slightly askew. But in understanding that the process itself brings benefits that are unforeseen, and those things that appear to be incongruent, the age, the ethnicity, those types of things, actually you have the ability to see the Holy Spirit work in the situation as we surrender ourselves to the process. when you and I don't know, Overseer, how much time I have, so don't let me, you know, because as I'm sharing, I'm thinking of some examples, but I don't know if I have 15 minutes, 20 minutes. What am I looking at? Okay, I'm...
You have 20 minutes.
Overseer, 20 minutes? Okay, okay. And so, like I was saying, that if it's a situation where you've never really had an accountability partner, it can seem somewhat awkward being paired with someone you don't know and are expected to have engaged in honest and transparent communication. But consider it something like when you're paired up on your job or you're paired up in school and you have a team members or cohort members where you have to be intentionally focused on developing a relationship. And in developing that relationship for it to work, there has to be trust and there has to be vulnerability. So the whole piece of being accountable, it's a word that we hear. We hear accountability, we hear life coach, we hear mentor. And when I think of the three and the differences in that, when I think of a mentor situation, you're thinking usually of some kind of hierarchical where an individual is striving to achieve or get to the level of their mentor. Their mentor is usually pouring in specifically in a specific area. Compared to maybe a life coach where someone might be having or experiencing difficulty in finding their way or maybe in being organized or staying on task and focused, and someone kind of walks alongside of them, giving them a step-by-step, holding their hand in that regard. Accountability is different in as much as, number one, the people that are in the process, the accountability partners, have been prayerfully selected and approved, and you have been prayerfully referred and selected and paired together uniquely, you being the candidate, with that accountability partner. It is a different type of situation. One of the unique benefits, I believe, is that the accountability partners have already gone through the process. What we hope to help reveal or help folks get out of the process is that it is the vision, number one, of Apostle Chanette, that this be part of the ordination process. And in the process of accountability, what you're really trying to do is help someone see themselves more clearly. And because this process, the process of elevation, spiritual elevation, can be so intense and so uniquely isolating, because you may know some other folks in the ministry, but they may not have been through this process. And even if they have been through this process per se, this is your process. So what we want to do is, in this accountability process, is pair folks together. So the problem of failing to see yourself clearly, which can happen, because it is such an awesome thing when God has his hand on our life and he is using us and we are excited and overwhelmed in some cases just by the mere fact that God has chosen us and has decided to deposit in us and allowed us and has condescended to allow us to be able to handle his word and bless his people and further the advancement of his kingdom. Sometimes we can get beside ourselves, and sometimes we can get in our feelings, as the kids would say. So having an accountability partner gives a set of fresh eyes who will look and walk with you through this process and will help you see and navigate the landscape. And the process happens by introspection. It happens by the dialogue, by the self-disclosure. It happens with the feedback between candidate and accountability partner. And the tools that are being used are the tools of reflection. We want your accountability partner to be not only available for your questions, but actually encouraging you in the process, supporting you, making sure or assisting you that you're meeting your deadlines, having a listening ear to maybe just whatever challenges you might be having in balancing your home life and ministry life. Whatever the situation is that you're going through, that accountability is there to help and assist you in that, so that you can be aware with a clear, open situation that you know that you're operating in integrity, that, like I said, we don't get caught up in our feelings and our images, that we know what's really going on, having a good level and solid grip on reality versus fiction. You know, having an accountability partner during this process can help you when sometimes it seems that it can be very easy to be overwhelmed with the magnitude of paperwork, and you can just get caught up in chasing dates and find yourself adrift. Having an accountability partner will hopefully anchor you in the process where they can give you some scaffolding, if you will, as you go through that process. And but there has to be, like I said, there has to be an openness. There has to be you have to be genuinely interested in your own process. We want people to be spiritually invested on both sides. The candidate, you're spiritually invested in your process, but the accountability to be spiritually invested in the candidate, interceding on their behalf, being intentionally purposed for the contact. We want there to be a situation so that as a candidate, you can expect your accountability to contact you on a weekly basis. That should be an expectation, and that should be something that is done. Now, how that happens, we would suggest and we would like that to be at least a phone call, but, you know, you guys can work stuff out however that works out for you, email, text, whatever works between the two of you. And in some cases, you know, it may be possible, but I know sometimes folks are across the country and in-person meetings are just impossible. And we want it not only to be during this process for the 8 months in 2018, but we want this relationship to go on after the ordination. We'd like you guys to stay in contact, candidate and accountability partner, accountability and candidate, to stay in contact for 12 months. So in through August, minimum through August of 2019, the accountability partners, you know, we want you to be supporting your candidate. I said before, daily intercessory prayer on your candidate's behalf, assisting with the whole timeline piece. There are five questions that the accountability partner is responsible for to submit to the committee for questions for the ordination council. Those questions we hope are being developed through your weekly communications as you write down any observations you may have, any questions, any concerns, as you share. Hopefully you guys will be sharing as the candidates prepare for the next coming weeks to deal with the elements of accountability. There are specific scriptures. And to that end, feel free to just interrupt me if you guys have a question, but I'm just trying to cover everything I have here in my notes. But I wanted to say regarding the presentations that will begin next week, what we hope to have from you guys would be not just an overview of the various scriptures, but for you to really dig deep and look at the scripture as it relates to the accountability process. So the first one is joyful and prayerful. So, you know, we know that the scripture talks about praying without ceasing, rejoicing always. And again, I say rejoice, but how can, as a candidate, or how can, as a accountability partner, you incorporate that? You know, do an analysis of what that means and what that would look like in the context of accountability. So, you know, when you're looking at it, you want to analyze it from that standpoint, study it with that in mind, and hopefully incorporate your presentation to show us, excuse me, how that element. There are several elements. I'm not sure whether you have that schedule or not, but just some of the scriptures, just so to show you that the process is anchored in the word. Some of the elements of accountability, like I said, that first one out of 1 Thessalonians about being joyful and prayerful, but the scripture in Matthew that talks about judge not that you not be judged. Scriptures in Proverbs that talk about wise counsel, how the way of the fool seems right in their own eyes. Those particular scriptures as the results of the accountability process, not just the scripture in and of itself, or not just a history on, on the book, the whole idea of being accountable with our words, when it talks about in Philippians, our thoughts, which our words are generated from, to think on these things whatsoever is true and noble and just and of good report. You guys know that scripture in Philippians 4. But there's a list of scriptures. So as you study those and prepare for next week, the team that's up, please look at that, but focus specifically on the whole idea of the elements as they relate to accountability. There are other scriptures that talk about, other examples in the scripture that talk about situations where people were accountable or being held accountable. I know you guys remember the story of Nahum when he when he was told to go and wash, and then after he left and he wanted to give the man of God something, and the man of God said no, he wouldn't take anything, but Gehazi followed behind him and kind of set him up and said, why don't you give this? I don't even remember what the specifics were, but if you guys just remember that story, it's in 2 Kings 5, I know that much. But asked him for some things that the man of God had already refused. And when he got back and basically said, or perpetrated that what he had gotten, Elijah said that, I was with, when the gentleman got off the chariot, he told him that, I was with him, that he had to give a consequence for going back and asking for payment that Elisha did not receive. The account in Amos 3 where God says to Israel that out of all of the families on the earth that I have picked you, that, God holds his people accountable. We see accountability in the scriptures in a lot of different ways. In Acts 14, there's a situation where Paul and Barnabas go back to Antioch, and one of the first things they did was they got the church together to tell them what they had done. They were accountable to the church for their service. So there are many examples. Those are just some. But, sometimes you have to look at it in a different regard. It's not going to say the word accountability, because that word is not in the scripture in that version. When Paul sent Timothy, he sent Timothy to encourage them. He couldn't leave Athens, but when Timothy came back, it shows the empathy. It shows how the church was accountable via Paul, via Timothy, to Paul, and how Paul was accountable by sending an emissary there to be with them and encourage them as they were going through hard times. So we see it in Scripture, but we have to look at it. Sometimes we have to dig down a little bit deeper. So I just want you guys to just be mindful of the process. I want you to know that we are expecting there to be communication. We are expecting there to be evaluations. There should be, you should have 5 evaluation forms filled out as of the end of the month of May. There should be an evaluation form that you were emailed much earlier in the year. If you don't have it, don't worry. We're going to send those out. We're going to resend those out. If you weren't keeping track in the regards on the form, then please refer back to the journal entries. You should be keeping a journal. Overseer has stressed that in every one of the calls. Please go back so that we will have some information to evaluate on the process, and that you will be able to take from your notes and form your questions that you are submitting for the ordination committee for your candidates. So we want the actual candidates as well. There's going to be a form sent out for you candidates as well to just something very simple, probably 3 or 4 questions, but wanting you to evaluate the process from your side on a monthly basis as well. And then there's a form for the accountability partners to evaluate their service. So I just want to kind of just recap that we want you guys to be intentional about the process. Please document if you have not been contacted. I have gotten forms today from Elder April, from Minister Christian, from Minister Poole, from there was someone else that sent a form in. I apologize, I didn't write that down. I don't have that in front of me. But you know if you have not sent in the evaluation forms. So if you are an accountability partner and have not sent in the forms, please send in the evaluation forms. And we have a couple more months to do that and to gather that information. As I said right at the beginning, because we've had some challenges this year, we are looking at some changes as we go into 2019 regarding the way that we structure this, the way that maybe for an in-person training, possibly signing of a memorandum of agreement and a pre-meeting where that is possible, where people are centrally or locally position, so that, you know, those people who are here in the Chicagoland area, then maybe we can actually sit down and do this on the front end. Overseer, I don't know if there's anything else that I haven't covered, but there was one scripture that I wanted to read, and this is out of it's actually just one verse of scripture out of Hebrews 13. When I was just looking at situations where we have to be accountable. Now, this is actually out of the Message version. It says, be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? And that is a scripture that you guys are probably a lot are used to hearing, you know, in a different type of in a different version, but. And in the King James it reads, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as they that might give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We do need to know and we do need to learn how to submit to leadership. We need to, in order to be good and great leaders, we need to be great followers. Like I said, sometimes it is awkward when the pairing, but as we stand and trust the Holy Spirit in this process, then we are willing to say that we know that God will work all things together for the good. Even in this process, we have to remember that our feelings are the very last thing. I remember in Sunday school, they used to give us a little train diagram. It was a train with three cars, the engine, the middle car, and the caboose. And that first car, the engine, was the fact of God's word. That middle car was faith. That's where we link our faith to the fact of God's word. And the caboose was the feeling. That's the very last thing. Sometimes it can be hard to get started. Sometimes it can be hard to be vulnerable and transparent and open when we don't have an initial connection with folks. But trust the process. You are here for a reason. And trust that God will make this work for your benefit. That is all I have. If there is any questions or any concerns or overseer, anything you'd like to add or anything that I missed.
Well, thank you very much, Elder Deborah. I think you have been very thorough and very sincere and honestly presenting a very major component of this ordination process. So are there any questions on the line? Anybody that have any questions as relates to this aspect of your process? Again, I'll just repeat what Elder shared, the fact that you will, as candidates, be receiving a form that you need to fill out and email back to me assessing your experience and your encounter with your accountability partner. We want to do this on a monthly basis. Yes. Yes. Okay. We want to do it on a monthly basis because we don't want anyone to fall through the cracks or to think, well, no one's contacting me, but it's okay, I'm okay. No, it isn't okay because this is a very vital part. So now we are asking that our candidates, the candidates, would report back monthly on your contact and your encounter with your accountability partner. And then we've always asked our accountability partners to, again, send in your monthly assessment. You can use the same form if there's no great change. Just date it and indicate it's for the current month. But please, you must send in your form. Any questions or concerns?
Yes, Ms. Zabala.
Yes. Elder Roberta. Yes.
I thought the journal was for the candidates. I didn't realize it was for the accountability partners.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that we want to always journalize the season we're in and the assignments in that season. So it's okay if you haven't, but I would encourage you to put forth a summary up to this point of the accountability partners, because it really is going to be very helpful, and it'll be a part of actually the candidate's portfolio, and that which we are reporting back. Remember, all of the things that we do are going to be evaluated in one form, and we'll talk about the form and the different aspects of the form. So if there's something that stood out to you that you want to share about your candidate, something we may not know, but you may have been privy to because of the nature of your relationship, then you're able to give that to us, and that's become a part of their evaluation. So it's okay if you haven't done it so far, please do it. Get your notebook. And I say in all areas, always journalize your every season that you're in and every assignment that you've been given. Good question. Anyone else have a question or concern?
Yes, I have a question, Ms. Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to ask about my accountability partner. She's very busy, and so I haven't really talked to her. I mean, I just don't want to disturb her because she's trying to, you know, finish her degree. And so if I don't think, if I don't need any help with anything, I don't call her because I don't want to. And so.
I hear you. You know what?
And
I love your spirit. What we do with this process, we really ask we have a pool of accountability partners, and we ask if they're available for the current year, and if they agree to it, then they agree to the terms and the responsibilities. I know that life happens, challenges in life happen, but the only way we will know that is if you tell us, because this is a very important part of your process. And I happen to know that you have gotten that aspect of it in other areas, and that's good. You sought it out and you got it. But it's something that should come to your door as a gift, as a part of this process for you, to help this process be customized to you as an individual. And so I appreciate that. I thank you for letting us know. And going forward, if need be, I will officially assign you one because, again, someone has to come up with your questions. You don't want a stranger giving you questions. You want someone that you've built this relationship with. They know information. You've interacted. They know who you are, what you've done, who, you know, where you've been, what you're going. I'm sorry?
No, I'm still listening to you.
So, okay. So thank you, and we will definitely follow up, which is why we're spending so much time.
Okay. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
No,
yes,
I'm not. Oh, okay. I don't mean to be scared. I'm not complaining about her or want to change.
That's okay.
I just want to let you know that I don't want to be, I don't want to be bugging her. That's not the word to use. But I don't want to be bothering her when I know she's doing finals. And, you know, I mean, I don't just think it's right for me to do that when I don't really need the help right now. I mean, I need help every day, but
Yes, ma'am, I do. And I appreciate your heart. That's why you're an apostolic. You're going to be an apostolic pastor. You understand. And that's fine. We just need you to communicate that to us. And we'll go from there. This is not, ooh, you getting in trouble. No, no. This is, ooh,
okay.
We need to store up our process. That's all.
I like my accountability partner. I just don't want to bring any more stress on her.
Okay, not a problem. That is
okay.
The heart of the problem.
I mean,
thank you.
Okay, she's okay with it. I'm still okay. Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Anybody else? Any more questions?
Yes, I had a question. This is Elgin. So the accountability partners are doing an evaluation, a monthly evaluation on us or the process?
Yes.
Each month? Okay. Okay.
And what this is doing is it's letting us know if someone's stuck, you know, or are they in a place where they're getting frustrated and they want to quit, you know, so they got, or they're saying they're good, they're 40 ahead, or is it too much? And we need to contact them and make an adjustment. This is so that everyone is successful spiritually. Season and for this journey. And so it's a tool that we use so that we are always, no one falls through the crack, no one heard about, you know, sometimes just on the line because we never meet one another, okay, everybody in one thing until just about the end, and to find out, oh, we had a person
and they dropped out because, you know, no one knew. You know, and so that's why the accountability requirement of reporting is in place. If there's a problem, the only way we will know is in for each individual is for their accountability partner to let us know. That's what the accountability partner does. They keep the organization apprised of they're doing good or they need assistance or whatever it might be, whether it's financial, spiritual, economical, it doesn't matter what it is. And there are things that are available to supply that to the candidate. But we can't supply it if we don't know about it. And so rather than everybody call one person, we have everybody interact with their person, and, you know, and then that person will inform us of what other things that need to be reviewed or fixed. Okay?
Hi, I have a question.
Good
I want to get some clarity.
Okay, say your name.
This is Tamika.
Yes, Tamika.
So I wanted to make sure that I heard correctly a couple minutes ago when you said that, well, I'm just trying to make sure I understood it. Are the candidates to be filling out documentation on the accountability partners as well? Is there a form about that? Or did I hear that right?
Yes. Yes, you heard that right, and you'll be getting the form before the weekend is up. Yes.
Okay.
Just so we know your side of it. You know, we need to know how this is working, you know, for you. Or you may say, I don't even, you know. Okay, good question. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Sure.
Overseer?
Yes.
I just wanted to also remind folks that there is a commitment of service for the candidates on next year to be accountability partners for the next group coming behind them.
Amen. Okay. Yes. That is something that we ask. We'll go into more detail when we're actually on location. And you'll have a sign up, and there'll be different things that will be shared with you during your ordination track at the conference. But absolutely, that is a part of your year commitment to the AEN, and it is a part of your process of ordination. You know, it's then being ministered to and then ministering. And so that's how we build one another, and that's how we build the kingdom. After you've experienced something and you've overcome and you've received victory in a process, you turn around and help someone else. It's fresh in your mind. The experience is fresh and new to you. And so you are our best source of information because you know the atmosphere, the economic environment, what people are going through, how things are working, how this ends up playing out in everyday life, and you're very fresh to it, and you can bring that perspective into the new candidates coming in 2019. Okay? Good questions. Any more questions? Okay, so this will be the time in our coming together. We have this is a unique week because it's the training as well and preparation for those that are being consecrated. So a great many of them are in their meeting, but we have Apostle Dez on the line, and she is the Amen.
Amen.
So she's going to bring her support for Pastor Elder Yvette on their topic for today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And our word, of course, good evening, everyone. Our word, of course, was worthy, and I thought that it was just so like God to give L.D. Yvette and myself the word worthy to begin to study, because we had a little drawback spirit. And initially when we were called to be elevated and consecrated to our role. So to go through this was very therapeutic for me, as I hope it was for her. Not sure what she brought out, but we understand that we're coming from Genesis. We're looking at it from the aspect of the book of Genesis 28, and I believe also Genesis 30 and 31. We know that Jacob's name itself meant trickster. His name meant supplanter, and supplanter had to do with a person who was a deception, a deceiving person, a person who liked to defraud. And we understand that even when he came into the world, there was a warring that was going on in his mother's womb, and how he was birthed holding the heel of his older brother. And how he just began to, in his life, things began to happen. We always saw him being deceiving. We always saw him being a trickster. How he even played on his brother's hunger. His brother was hungry, and he played on his brother's hunger and told him, if you give me your birthright, then I'll give you a bowl of stew. He was always cunning, and that can be a positive thing, and it can be a negative thing. And for him, of course, it was negative. So he was always playing. He was always trying to figure out how he could connive and how he could trick. And even in that, the Bible talks about how God loved Jacob and he hated Esau. So even in him in the womb, even in him being a person of deception, even in him, when you looked at him, you think he was a trickster, he was this, he was that. Even in that, God still loved him and God still found him worthy. And for some of us, come on somebody, for some of us, we feel like there are some things in our lives, there's some things that have happened that would cause us to question as to whether or not we're worthy. But God knew us, oh my God to glory, when we were formed in our mother's womb, the Bible said. He knew us. Remember the scripture in Jeremiah. He said, I know the plans and the thoughts that I think towards you, and they're plans of good, not of evil, to bring you to a perfected end. So as you're going through this, as you're answering your questions, as you're beginning to see, as you count your nickels and they don't look like they're enough to get your case out, come on somebody, you have to know that God has still found you worthy. You are worthy for this call. And as I begin to look at it, as I begin to look at it a little deeper, I begin to look at some of the things that set us back, some of the things that make us feel like we're not worthy. We feel like we're not worthy because of our family lineage. And what came to me was Gideon, and how Gideon was telling God, he was like, look, we're the least of the people, you know, but God still found Gideon worthy. We look at things of how we were conceived and how we came about in our mother's womb. What happened to us? Did we come by rape? Did we come by adultery? Did we come by fornication? How did we come? God said, I just needed you to get here. I'm not looking at how you got here. I needed you to get here. And in my infinite wisdom, I've still found you worthy. We look at our education, and the Bible talks about in Acts 14 that the apostles were unlearned men. They were men who didn't have a lot of education. So we can't look at our education as something that would give us the credentials that we need, to be accepted by the world, because God still found them worthy, come on somebody, to do what it was he had called them to do. We look at age. We feel like we're too young. We feel like we're too old. And we know what the Bible said when he spoke to Jeremiah, he told him that I knew you. I knew you before you were formed. I knew you before you were even an egg. I knew you before the sperm met the egg. I knew you, and I called you even then. And I was looking at Anna the prophetess in Luke 2 and 36. The Bible talks about how she was up of many age. She was up in age, but God still found her worthy and was still using her. We could talk about we're married. Well, my spouse ain't saved. My spouse not walking with me. This not happening. My marriage not that. But we were reminded about Hosea and what Hosea had to go through, even in God calling him, what God had him to do, God still found him worthy. So I just want to leave with those of you who are on the line, whatever the enemy is trying to tell you, whatever the enemy is saying to you and telling you that you're not worthy, I hope that these scriptures have eradicated the you even now is that God will begin to ignite your fire in your call, that God will begin to show you even as you sleep. He'll begin to let you know that I've called you for such a time as this. No, yes, we've looked at other people. I'm sure you got a running list of who can do it better than you. But God said they can't do it like you. I don't need somebody to do it better than you. I need you to do it like you do it. And so on today, I just want to encourage you and encourage myself that God has found us worthy. And because he's found us worthy, we got to put our hand to the plow. Let me leave you with this scripture. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:15-16, this is a faithful and trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance and approval, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example or pattern for those who would believe in him for eternal life. So what is Paul saying? He was talking to Timothy, and he was telling Timothy, look, I am the worst of the worst. I was going around killing Christians. I was doing some stuff, and God in his infinite mercy called me out of what I was in and put me in a position to preach the gospel. Some of you have been looking at your past and what happened in your past life. You might have been the chief of it. When you was in it, you was doing it well. But even in that, God says, I see something in you. I see something in you that the kingdom needs, and I'm calling you out of it. So don't let your past put you under arrest. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always exceeding in the work of the Lord, always doing your best and doing more that is needed, being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion, I know sometimes you stayed up late trying to answer them questions, but it was because God has found you worthy. Even to the extent of exhaustion in the Lord, it's not futile, it's not futile, it's not wasted, and it's never without purpose. God has a plan, he has a purpose, and in that he has found each of us worthy to this next level of elevation, to this next level of consecration, to this next level of being in him for such a time as this. Know that you are worthy. Thank you.
Well, praise
amen,
the
Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Ah.
There you go.
Amen.
Preacher,
Jesus,
preacher.
Jesus.
Worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay,
yeah.
I'm all right.
Amen. Amen. And it is so.
It is
praise
so.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Yes. Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you to the team of Elder Yvette and Apostle Dez. That's what an accountability partner is for, Alex. They can always bring something into the picture that you have not seen. So we thank God for that. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. We really want to just about end on that note, but we have a couple of questions that I promised would be answered during today's session. And one of them is those that are requesting information to be submitted for their witness or for the individual that they want to help best them, the co-consecrators. That form is
well,
going to
I got a hold of it.
Thanks. Yes, sir?
Totally time for you. You walking down the street. You're going to roll up on it after that. Watch this cow. You throw that dope and run his off.
Okay. We have someone that needs to go on. Mute me. So those forms are going to come out to you via email. So look for the consecration data sheet where you can list the information for the people that are going to be your witness, those that you are requesting to vest you and be a part of your ordination. Remember, there's one witness per candidate. And as you get the sheets, after you fill them out, you can email them back to me, and we will get a schedule going and
whatever training needs will come from the apostle, but we will have the contact information so that we might to reach these individuals on your behalf. And so another question that we had this week, we've had some good questions. We appreciate you taking the time. Is the official wording for your invitation to the general attendees or to clergy? And the actual, for those visiting clergies, for yourself, as long as you include the information that Elder Sherita has in her, she sent us all a file that has, like a flyer, that has all of the pertinent information. And the official wording is your wording. There's no set wording that has to happen, just that information that is on there, inviting them to the conference itself, as well as or only the actual ordination service. So because they're your invitations, you kind of know who you want to participate in what and on what level. So that is entirely up to you. A person that's just attending the banquet and the ordination service, they do not, I repeat, they do not have to register for the conference. We do want to remind you all also that your cassocks and everything that you purchase, the all black with no embellishments and no additional colors in your cassock, your cincture, and your tippet. Those things are all black for all intents and purposes. And your clergy shirt, either black, well, black, because you can't wear the white one on this this event. And so I prayerfully we've answered some of the questions that have arisen with individual Elder Sherita. Are you on the line? I'm not sure. I know she may not be available. But we will see if we can have her come up with a mock invitation. She's really good at that. And if she does, you'll get that as well before the next meeting. It will all come out in one email so that she will address that. Remember, if you have not registered for the conference, you must register. You need to register. You missed the deadline that got the discounted amount, but you need to register. Is Minister Latanya on the line? I'm trying to pull it up really quick. But if you need information about registering, check your emails. Elder Sherita has definitely given us very, very thorough information about registration. Any questions, concerns that weren't met on this particular week? Okay, next week we will go into more detail about your office, your gift, and your personality, and the different levels that are used as a guideline for your question. You're now you're now at the point in your process where you're answering your theological questions or your defend the faith questions. There are many resources out there. Ask your accountability partners, or if you look at your list that's recommended reading, recommended books on the helpful ministry tools, there are indications of one particular book, Charts of Christian Theology and Doctrine. Excellent book to get. Will answer a lot of your theological questions and the questions that are a part of your defend the faith. Those are two separate types of projects that are out there, and we'll talk about why some have one and some have the other. And so if you go down your list, Chain Bible, a lot of the information is a part of their appendix, and that you can find answers for your Defend the Faith and theological questions there. Also, What the Bible Says to the Minister and Ministry, Nuts and Bolts. Those are all books. They're asterisk on your helpful ministry tool list of books to have, and you can use those books. The asterisk books are very helpful in helping you find the answers to your questions. 52 words every Christian should know. So these are all reference tools. A lot of it you can find online if you just type in the name of the book and get some information. But there are books that you really need to have as a part of your library as you go into ministry, as you continue in ministry, as you grow in ministry, and as you are being elevated in ministry. So if there be no other questions, so I'll have to mute some people because we had background information. Remember, it takes about 5 seconds once you say something for us to even hear that you're saying something. So don't get discouraged. Just continue to talk. Okay? You're not being rude. It is just the way of technology. Any questions? Okay. Well, we will close out in prayer. I did hear a gentleman on the line who wanted to close us out in prayer. Okay. If not, then Elder Roberta, would you close us out in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship, and we thank you, Father, for each candidate that will be going forth, Father God. We ask even now, Father God, that you continue to encourage them, continue, Father God, to strengthen them in their time of preparation. Continue, Father God, to open up their eyes and ears of understanding even now. We ask even now that you bring the candidates and the accountability partners closer, Father God. We ask even now, Father God, that you equip the accountability partners even now to go forth in the relationship that you would have us to have with our appointed candidates. In the name of Jesus, we pray even now. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And have a blessed week. Enjoy your worship. And we'll come back next week, 7 o'clock Thursday. Amen.
Amen.